Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 363. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will show you four different ways that you can receive one at the end of the program. It's absolutely free. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're absolutely free, and the postage and handling is taken care of as well by the church. We have some singing. We're going to continue on with the message from yesterday, and there's way more. We've got testimonies. And right now, though, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this tape service, this radio service, Father. Lord, the entire world has gone astray because of the breakdown of morals and the shunning of your word. Lord, you brought first the man, and then you took the woman out of the man. And then you had, they had sons and daughters. And every child that came forth from Adam's loins was a sinner because he and his wife and himself had sinned. And therefore we all are cursed with the Adamic sin. And there's one provision and one provision only that you made that humans are able to be justified again by living in you. That means living in Christ, living in the Word. And in order to bring about a bride for yourself, you had to come into the world and die for your bride. And you had to shed your blood for your bride. You had to show your bride that you love her. But there are so many people that don't understand these things. There's a lot of people that are born again of the Spirit, but they haven't got an idea that they really are. They just don't realize. They're confused. They don't read the Bible enough. But we husbands are to love our wives as you love the church. You washed the church in your blood, and then you filled the church with your Spirit, which is your Word, which is the washing, the water of the Word of God, cleansing her on a daily basis. You cleanse the church so that she eventually becomes one with you. She becomes one with you right away, but she needs to grow up to the fullness of your stature, because you want the church to be able to communicate to you, and you want to communicate to the church, your body. And a man is also supposed to sit down with his wife and read and pray with her and show her that you, the Word, are the most important thing in the whole universe. And if they do these things, this shows that they love you. They have to provide, the husband must provide for the wife and the children, and they must be an honorable person of the Lord that is, will also prefer others before himself and will preach the gospel and teach it all over the world or whatever space of the world that you've given him to hold down the fort. Lord, we pray that you'll open the eyes and the minds of everybody in the entire world, because there's a 70% divorce rate in people that have been married three times. It's 60% to those who have been married two times, and 50% divorce rate in the world to those that have been married once. And then you've got 30% less, more, that are more than likely committing adultery on each other or committing adultery on the Lord. For to not do what you tell us to do, Lord, is committing adultery on you. And you've stated that we must repent because we don't love you. And you've called us to love you. We must repent of this and get back to the first work of loving the Lord and the brethren. Your word states that we don't love you any more, and we don't love the brethren anymore. And so we have to get back to this, because the world is deteriorating so fast that you've sent these flying saucers, which are a symbol of the church, with you in the midst of the church. If you're not in the midst of the church, then it's not a church. The book of Revelation shows us that you are walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks, or lampstands. This is also symbolic of you being the symbol of the church. And if there's no, if you're not walking in the midst of a church, then it is not a church, because not a church at all. They call it a church, but it's not. And so therefore, Father, we pray that everyone will read into this and know that whenever a man cleaves unto a woman, even if he cleaves unto a prostitute, if he joins her in sexual relationships, that he becomes one with a harlot, a prostitute. And this is totally anti-Christ. And that it doesn't matter if you have sexual relationships with 100 or 1,000 prostitutes, you've been joined together as man and wife with thousands of prostitutes, and it's for sure that you will not also be joined with the Lord. This is what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible means. So, and if women are joining up with some whoremonger and they're married, well, they sold their own soul. They lack understanding, because they don't realize that they've destroyed their own soul. So, Father, I pray that everyone in the world will be able to receive these things, because this is no joke. This is the end of time. You're symbolic of the church, and you together in the midst of the church are shown to us in the book of Ezekiel, in the first chapter. These are symbols of the church with Christ living in it. The same in Revelation. And so you are showing us how fast of a work you're doing by actually showing many people in the world, millions of them, these flying saucers. And then, of course, Satan is showing another version of a saucer with people from supposed to be Mars, yet there's nobody living on Mars. These are the true flying saucers, are not illusions or wonders that are coming from Satan, lying wonders, but these are the Lord saying, get the church together, unite yourselves together in holy matrimony. All of you stay one church, one. There can't be two churches, except there's churches that we have overseas, but they all have to be in the Lord. There's churches in Africa, India, Philippines, China, Japan, all over the world. And they still have the same doctrine that we here in the United States do. As a matter of fact, some of them are so far more superior than the churches here in the United States. But those of us that are doing your will, they couldn't be any more superior than that. They're willing to carry the gospel even to the death, as you did, Jesus. So we pray that you'll lead us, lead me to bring about a new awareness of the actual position that we must be in these last hours of time, because we're living in the worst, the most sinful of times on the face of this earth. We're living in the hour of temptation, and you said you'd keep us from that if we'd keep our minds focused on you, and we can't be focusing on any other thing. It must be you in order for us to enter the kingdom of heaven and stay out of the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Lord, I pray that you'll destroy the enemies, those that absolutely refuse to do that, are looking to murder us, looking to put an end to your gospel and our gospel. Lord, that you destroy them wonderfully. Those that are scheming behind locked doors of how they can frame the people of the Lord and how they're believing the Vatican Cult Awareness Network that's just changed their name to Wellsprings. These people are not Christians at all. And those that join up into what they're saying, they are becoming, they've become Antichrist. They've already become Antichrist. Satan blew his breath into them, just as Jesus blew his breath into his disciples immediately after his resurrection, his glorification. And Lord, the people on earth, those of us that have your spirit in us and those who have the spirit of Satan in them, and we pray that people will begin realizing this and flee from the very appearance of evil and resist Satan's, and he will flee from us. Father, that souls will be saved and the church strengthened and edified. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And here I am to sing for you a song that everybody should sing. We want the Lord to stand by us in these last days, because without the Lord, we're nothing. And here it is. This is myself singing, "Stand By Me."
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, now who rules wind and water? Stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, now who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Now who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Yeah, we really need the Lord to stand by us, because I don't know how I'm sure, you know, I'm positive there's no possible way that I could have gone through the trials and tribulations that I've been through in the ministry without the Lord being right there. And he really was right there. Okay, we have some testimonies here today. Where's the first one from?
From Little Rock, Arkansas. To World Pastor Tony Alamo, I thank the living God so much for you and your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. As you know, I was wonderfully saved April 1984. I was saved in one of your Spirit-filled church services. I thank God so much for you. I was a fool for leaving a beautiful church in Fort Smith. I have not seen anyone preaching hellfire and brimstone like you, World Pastor Tony Lamo. I enjoy reading your powerful testimony in the piece of literature called Dry Bones, also the powerful piece of gospel literature called Fighters. I also listen to your radio broadcast that comes on at 1 a.m. here in Little Rock, Arkansas. My Christian friend from New Orleans, Louisiana, also listens too. Her husband's name is Brother James. He is locked up in Angola Prison in Louisiana. He's been there for around 40 years. He needs our sincere prayers. He is also saved. Thank you for the most recent cassettes called How to Have God's Life Living in You. I'm going to buy me a CD player real soon. God bless you and your ministry. Love your brother, Preston, saved from a horrible life of alcoholism.
Okay, you have another one?
Yes, from Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, Calvary greetings in Jesus' name. Once again, I thank you for the newsletters and the Messiah books you sent to me in my ministry. I wish to let you know that we are using them for evangelism, and people are demanding for more, also Bibles. So please, we still need more. Some people said it is end-time revelation literature, and anybody who reads this literature and later finds himself in hell, he asked for it. Please, we are looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you, and regards to those that are working with you. Bless you, Okori from Abuja, Nigeria, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, that's the Lord. We're in, the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, the Spirit, Paul always was filled with the Spirit, stated, we're continuing on, that he might sanctify, gave himself, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved thee, as he loved the church. And the church is thee, if you're born again in the Spirit. And he gave himself for it. What does that mean, that he gave himself? There's no way that there could possibly be a church if Jesus had not given himself to hang on the cross and be degraded as no one ever has been degraded in the entire world, and beaten as no one has ever been beaten before in the world, although there are others today that are trying to imitate that beating with people, and they're attempting to degrade people just as much. But they're still degrading Jesus, these unsaved Gentiles, which the Lord calls dogs. What they're doing is attempting to tell us all about the Lord. And you cannot know about the Lord unless you're born again of the Spirit, unless the Lord is living in you. So he did all this. He gave himself for the church, verse 26, that he might sanctify the church and cleanse it with the washing of water. And the water, Jesus said that his word is spirit and it is life. And this water that he's speaking of is the same water that is above the firmament. Now, the water below the firmament is the water we drink. But there's another water on the side of the firmament. There's a division between heaven and earth. And this is the washing of water by the Word. The Word is the water because it's the Spirit. And it is our life. And this is the most important thing to do today, is read the Word of God. Now, there are so many versions of the Word of God, you may become confused as to which one to read. And there are also many versions of the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek that was written and spoken by the Jews. But the cleanse it with the washing of the water. Now, the King James Version is the closest true version, because many of these versions will tell you that, the Lord has forgiven you of your sins, past, present, and future. This is a lie out of hell. You may say that Satan has put these new Bibles together for you to read so that you will believe that you can continue sinning after you've been saved. But the Lord, his purpose is to cleanse the church of all sin and old wives' tales and things, all things that are not godly, to cleanse it with the washing of water, and that water is by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having, and these are symbolic of sin, not having spot, that's considered sin, or wrinkle, that is considered sin, or any such thing. Now the wrinkle is false doctrine. And so we have to stay right on the right doctrine. So it's very important the kind of Bible that you're reading. So stick with the King James Version, not the New Version, because I've found many faults with that. But that it should be a holy, that you, as a member of the body of Christ, should be holy and without sin, without blemish. So, you know, whenever we read even one scripture in the Bible, we have to receive it, because if we don't receive it, well, then we're receiving sin. We're not receiving the holiness that the Lord wants us to be. So ought men to love their wives. Well, what does that mean? As their own bodies. Jesus loves his church, which is his body, the same as he, more than he. He showed that he gave his life for his body, his church. And he shed his blood for us so that he could wash us in the blood and then show us that he kept the entire Word of God, and that now he's keeping the Word by washing us and purging us from old things that we've heard in our old life, so that we can present... he can present our bodies that we're holy and without sin, without blemish. Now, we're supposed to, as husbands, do this to love their wives, our wives, as their own bodies. And why? Because we become one flesh, just as the church and Christ are one body, and bone of our bone, and flesh of our flesh. And the Lord wants those of us that are ministers, or whether you're a minister or not, you're supposed to be one, to get your wife into the Word of God. And if she's in the Word of God and there's no confusion, then her house is clean, because the Bible tells her to clean her house. And the husband is a man that she can respect. We have a man in the church that recently, the way they built the church that we have in Los Angeles is that they built a septic tank right in the hallway where the bathrooms are. And it's very close to our sanctuary where the services are going on. Instead of this man booking the septic tank people to come and pump that far away from service time, he called them in at service time. And it caused such a stench in that hallway, and people were going in and out the doors to go to the bathroom. And it caused some of the musicians to get very ill. And then he was standing there with Lysol by the buckets and just pouring it in there, trying to calm that stench down to the point to where people wouldn't faint. Well, this to me is a person that really needs to get a hold of the Lord, because he is not concerned about the people of the church. It didn't even enter his mind. And then until some of the musicians were like about ready to pass out. And how could his wife respect him when he does a very stupid, ungodly thing like that, the church services must be free from sin or anyone that's attempting to, the devil just had him sabotaging the service. That septic tank needs to be pumped once a month or thereabouts. And I told him that if he doesn't do it, now either you do it real early in the morning or late at night where there's no guests there in the church. And that would mean that there's somebody, that man that would do it that way would be a person that is of the Lord because they're paying attention to trying to make the services spirit-filled and for people to concentrate on the Word of God rather than the stench of a sewer. And if the person ever does it again, they will be kindly asked to go to some other church. And I'm sure many churches will put him out if the pastor has any sense or any spirit of the Lord in him. And then the wife is also very sloppy because she clothing is skewed, scattered all over her floor when people walk in there. And this is not living a godly life. And then she doesn't take care of her children. And so I told her she has to take care of her house and take care of her children. Otherwise, I'm going to put her out because the child is several months old and only weighs 8 to 10 pounds. How old is that child? About
4 months.
4 months old. And so some of the other sisters in the church took the child and fed it, and it immediately began gaining weight. So we know that this is a repeat of something that is extremely evil. We have to take care of our houses, the women, their children, and their husbands. And the husband has, if he has the mind of Christ, if Christ is his head, Christ would never do anything like that. That's how you tell if something is of the devil or not. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so so ought a man to love their wives. First they have to tell them, hey, the house is really terrible and I'm going to report you to the pastor. And the pastor will put you out of this church because that's no testimony to the outer world, the unsaved, because most of the unsaved people that I know keep their houses as neat as pins. And most people out in the world would never do that unless it's a Jesuit Catholic priest in the church attempting to make everything look as crazy as it possibly can be. And then possibly for their children to die in the church from malnutrition so that they will start calling me names in the media, as they always do. They have no leg to stand on when they're calling me these things, but they certainly would if I allowed this to take place in the church. And so beware, all you people that don't take care of your children. That's child abuse, and I will make sure that the authorities know it. And yeah, they're going to take your child away from you and maybe put them in a foster home, or we would be glad to take some. There's a lot of sisters in the church that would be glad to take care of them. All right, so ought we men to love our wives as their own bodies. Okay, now we're back home to the finish up of this verse. Verse 28. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord cherishes the church. Well, I see that people do cherish their bodies. They're always asking me for vitamins and minerals and advice on the health foods and the things that they take, and we buy it for them. If it's a health food that I know that is good, and I've been in the health business off and on for over 50 years. For we are members of his body. Now, you don't, there's not a member of the Lord's body that keeps their house all jacked up with clothing laying all over the floor. And there's nobody that is a member of the Lord's body that has septic tanks pumped during a service. You know, just think about that. When you have guests coming over to your house and you have a septic tank, you're on a septic tank, and during this big grand meal, maybe on Christmas or on a birthday or something, your Hanyok husband would come in and put a tube right down in the middle of the living room and start pumping this septic tank. That would offend your guests very much. And some people say, well, you're talking about something that is not important. I'll decide what's important. The Lord has laid this on my heart. It is important, okay? Now you just say, well, we're macho. We can stink if we want to. Well, then go stink somewhere else. Amen? Not my church. For we are members of the Lord's body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Just, it's a great mystery. They come one flesh, just like the body of Christ and Christ are one flesh. Because all the members of the body of Christ are his wife. He has many wives that formulate a corporate body of a wife with many human members. So you could say that the Lord is a polygamist, all right? Are you Antichrist bastards going to arrest him and put him in prison? No, he's going to come down here on this earth and destroy all of you because you have encouraged the mob to come against such things as polygamy. God told David this, I gave you the daughters of Saul and I gave you his wives. I, God, gave them to you. And then he said, I also gave you the daughters of Jerusalem and the daughter of Israel, of Judah. And if that wasn't enough, all you would have had to do is ask me. Ask me, and I would have given you as many as you wanted, as many females that you wanted. Because he was busy in administration of the Word of God. He was writing. He was training up his sons and his daughters in the way to go. And he needed help with it. He couldn't take care of the babies and go out and fight the wars for Israel that he was doing. So he had to have a staff to take care of the crib, the place where they lived as well. You have to have nannies, housekeepers. You have to have people that do the shopping, that pick up things. There's a structure to the church because everybody has certain jobs, and so in that respect, everybody is taken care of. While the women are taking care of the children and the men, there are purchasing agents that don't have such duties that can go out and buy the food for the men, women, and children. And it's just a wonderful way of life that I see that many of the great people of the Lord lived, including Moses. And because I've written a piece of literature about that, I agree with it, the Bible, very much. And the government keeps saying, we cannot put the church into government. Well, then, government, you stay out of church. If there's a separation between church and state, then you keep yourselves out of the church, unless you want to come into the church as a born-again Christian, which is something you don't understand if you're a member of Satan's body. You understand it all right, but you're going to do everything that you can to stop it. So, what I'm saying is that we have to become one flesh with our wife so that we'll be joined into this is what it says, is that a man should leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they too shall be one flesh, just as Christ and the church, or the entire body of Christ. It's just a corporate body of many, many, many millions of people. They become his bride. This is a great mystery. Now, this is verse 32. This is a great mystery. It's a mystery too big for unsaved people to understand. That's why there's so much divorce among unsaved people. So this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the Lord is likening us that are married, those of us that are married, to Christ himself, God Almighty, and the body of Christ, the true church. And the true church is not a religion. It was the religious people that crucified Christ. It was, as a matter of fact, the Roman soldiers, Catholic Roman soldiers, that put Christ to death. And then it was the Romans that put the Christians to death in the Colosseum and any place they could find them. And they'd nail them to the cross, feed them to the lions or to some other animal, that they'd starve them out and put them in there, because they liked to use the Christian for sport. This is the Roman way, and this is exactly what they are doing today. And so you must be aware. And you've got a bunch of dizzy people that call themselves good attorneys and everything that are becoming politicians. And these are the people that will be flying over your house in maybe 5 helicopters, scanning the place to figure out which way shall we come in and attack them. These people, my friends, are devils right out of the pit of hell. But I'm speaking, and the Apostle Paul is speaking here concerning Christ and the church of God. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, you save people, so love his wife. And of love is the meaning of love is the keeping of God's commandments. In other words, you have to teach her the word every day. You have to provide for her and the children every day. In other words, that means you have to work. And if you don't work, that doesn't mean go on welfare, but you have to work. Because if you won't work, then you shouldn't eat. You won't eat. Now, some people are handicapped and they can't go out to work. And that's we do everything in our power. When they ask us, we help them. We send them food and clothing and everything. That's the way it should be. That's the way the Lord tells us to be, even our enemies. So, nevertheless, let everyone of you in particular, he's talking about the church and the man and wife, so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife sees you that she reverences her husband. You have to pay attention to your husband. You have to reverence him. You can't be yelling and screaming at him and disobeying what he's telling you the Word of God says to do. You have to follow the Word of God. Now, when the Lord was here on earth in his ministry, and his ministry was, he taught us much more, the Apostle Paul, after he was glorified and sent up into heaven, was preaching the gospel and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that doing his miracles, the Spirit at that time was not yet able to be given to mankind. People, no one had the Spirit of God in them. Even though there were disciples, they didn't have the Spirit of God, because the Lord had not yet been glorified. A glorification of the Lord means that he was resurrected from the dead. That's the glory of God, amen? That he could pull somebody right out of the tomb and raise them from the dead. And that's what the secular news media now is trying to make you believe, is that he was in a coffin. He never was in a coffin. He was glorified, he resurrected from the dead, and the stone was rolled away by a couple of angels, and he walked forth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords while there was an earthquake going on at the same time. That's John 7:38, 7th chapter, verse 38. It was after the Lord's glorification, in other words, resurrection, that is, after he was crucified, went to hell. He went to hell for us. He paid the penalty for us so that we, if we believe in him, would be able to have the same thing as he has, that we'd be able to stay out of hell. He went there for us. He rose out of hell, and then he rose out of the grave. That is, it wasn't until after his resurrection that the Holy Spirit entered into his disciples. After the Lord was resurrected, he came in the evening to the disciples, and he breathed the Holy Spirit into them. He said unto them, quote, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You could read that, if you like, in John 20, verses 19 through 22. So these verses show absolutely that the Holy Spirit came into the disciples after the Lord had been glorified. His glorification was his resurrection. Now, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 7. So we can observe the Spirit of Jesus. We can observe it. Quote, "And when they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia." Let the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Yes, we see that the Spirit of God stops us from doing things. I rely on that. Whoa, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. That's Acts 16:7. So a lot of times people say, quote, "Let's go to downtown LA. Let's go to Los Angeles this afternoon to witness and testify, or let's go to Santa Monica or down there by the beach or Hollywood." But we need to let the Holy Spirit of Jesus show us where we are to go a witnessing today. So the Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of Jesus is very important then. It's also very special. One would think, if you want to split hairs here, the Bible doesn't say this is the Spirit of God, even though we know that Jesus is God and we know that he is the Comforter, he's the life-giving Spirit. And not even the Spirit of Christ, it doesn't say, even though we know that Jesus is Christ. But it's the Spirit of Jesus as a man, because the name of the man was Jesus. So the Spirit of the man, Jesus, was mingled with the Father, and the Father is the Spirit, and Father, and the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. When we read the previous verse, verse 6 says, quote, "And they passed through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia." Forbidden to speak the word in Asia. Some people think it's absolutely essential to speak the word everywhere they go. But if you don't feel, if you're not experiencing the anointing of the Holy Spirit, well, then you shouldn't speak. This is called walking by the Spirit. The reason for that is, it says, everything must be according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So the Spirit of Jesus, in verse 7, is the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, after the Lord's resurrection, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So that's the Spirit of Jesus. After the Lord's resurrection, the Holy Spirit is then called the Spirit of Jesus. Now, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, well, learn about that in the book of Philippians 1:19. It states, quote, "For I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition." In other words, your prayer and bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, unquote. Here it is, not just the Spirit of Jesus, but it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Hellenic Greek word for bountiful supply is a special word and used by the Jews that spoke Greek. When they referred to the supply of all the needs of Chorus by the Courageous, the leader of the Chorus, in ancient times, according to the Greek custom, the leader, Choragios, Choragus, of the Chorus, Chorus, had to prepare and supply everything that the Chorus, Chorus, needed. Now the Apostle Paul used the same word to describe the bountiful supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Jesus only, but Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9 says, quote, "But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit." Or it says, "But in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Yet if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of Christ, of him, meaning Christ. So, this verse right here is interchangeably uses the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God. Of course, they are one Spirit. I was talking about the Old Testament now, how the Spirit works there, how it's different. It's the Spirit of God in the Old Testament and the Spirit in the New Testament. If you want to know what the Spirit is, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the first thing we have to do is we have to distinguish the Spirit of God in the Old Testament from the Spirit in the New Testament. There's never such a title as the Holy Spirit in the entire Old Testament. There's no way that you can find that title, the Holy Spirit, ascribed to the Spirit of God in Psalms 51:11 and Isaiah 63 verses 10 and 11. Holy Spirit should be translated, quote, Spirit of Holiness. The life, the Holy Spirit, was used first in the commencement and the commencement with the preparation for the Lord's coming into the world through incarnation. In other words, this was preparing for him to come into the world in the flesh. Luke 1:15-35. It was at that time that the Holy Scripture used the term the Holy Spirit for the Spirit of God. Therefore, this title, the Holy Spirit, is related to the fact that God mingled or mixed himself with man's spirit through incarnation, by living in flesh, human flesh. Through him being incarnated so that he could eventually incarnate us, such a mingling of the Holy Spirit cannot be found in the Old Testament at all. The Old Testament maintains a number of times that the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Jehovah came down upon the prophets or upon a certain person in Judges 3:10 and 6:34, chapter 11, verse 29, chapter 13, verse 25, chapter 14, verse 6, chapter 19, chapter 14, verse 6 and 19, chapter 15, verse 14, 1 Samuel 10:6, and chapter 16, verse 13 through 14, in Samuel 23, verse 2, 1 Kings 8:12, 22-24, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16, and 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 23, it goes on. Chapter 20, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. 63, verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5. And chapter 37, verse 1. Micah chapter 3, verse 8. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, in the Old Testament, there was God, and there was the Spirit of God, and he came down upon people at that time. Sometimes he'd come down upon the prophets. The Spirit of God had merely the element of divinity by reading the Word of God. You are able now to tell that God passed through a phenomenal, wonderful thing, a phenomenal, wonderful process. In the New Testament, he became a man. And I've run out of time right now, and I'm going to go on with this because this is really going to get good for you in tomorrow's message, so make sure you tune in. Those of you that would like to be incarnated, to have the Spirit of God enter into you, to live in your human body, all you need to do is to say this prayer. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, the sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he's alive right now and is ready and willing to enter into me. Oh, I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord. Get baptized, fully submerged in water in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to know how, just ask me and I'll tell you. Now, make sure you order program 363 or any back orders that you'd like. Here's Sharon to tell you.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, so it's really good for you to know the difference between the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and that never went through any human process whatsoever. And it's really good for you to know how that when the Holy Spirit became incarnate in human flesh, that the things that the Holy Spirit did to prove that man could live without sinning in a body, a human body, you'll hear all this tomorrow. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo singing for you, Onward Christian Soldiers. God bless you.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle.